are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, Christmas special this Tuesday edition. It is a weekly wink today. My guest, Nick Winkler. Happy holidays to everybody out there. And it's a big time of the year for the 49ers. Might get a late Christmas present this year if the 49ers can knock off the Seahawks. We'll get into that Week 17 Sunday night game against the Seattle Seahawks. We'll talk about the Rams victory. We'll get to some mailbag questions. Who knows what we'll get to on today's program with Mr. Nick Winkler. You can find me on Twitter at BDPeacock. You can email the show lockedon49ers@gmail.com. That's where all of these mailbag questions will come from that we get to today. And when I say all of them, we usually only get to about two because we are both very long-winded. And you can find this podcast at lockedon49ers.com and all of your favorite podcast apps. So now, let's bring on today's guest.
Nicholas Winkler, come on down.
Mr. Winkler, Merry Christmas to you. How are you?
Merry Christmas to you as well and to your family. Make sure you give them my love. I'm good, man. I mean, like you said, it's Christmas time. Everybody's happy. 49ers sitting in first place. Got game of the century, really. I mean, come on. This is what we've been waiting for so long. It's all the marbles, really. I mean, it all comes down to beating Seattle in their house, which has kind of been the Achilles heels of the 49ers. It's their kryptonite, and this is it. This is the time to shine. Let's do it.
I'm pumped. This is what it's all about. This is why everyone listens to the podcast all year. This is why I do a show to hopefully get to a moment like this where the 49ers are playing in Seattle against the hated Seahawks for the West. And it's really big, too, because it's not so much winning the West, beating the Seahawks in their home, which the 49ers have not done in a very long time. All those things. But if the 49ers want to legitimately win a Super Bowl, this is the pathway to do it. Having a bye next week, getting everybody healthy, guys like D Ford back on the field, then you're at home for 2 weeks before the Super Bowl if you're able to win those two games. That is such an easier path than going on the road for three in a row, which was so difficult. The 49ers have already gone into New Orleans and won. Can they do that again if they have to? They beat Green Bay at Levi's Stadium. That's much easier than beating the Packers in Green Bay in January. And of course, the Seahawks, even if you win one, if you win one, you don't have to go back. If you lose this time, maybe you even have to go back there and eventually win. So at some point, maybe you do have to win in Seattle no matter what. So I think it's pretty important to go win this game for the 49ers if they want to go hoist that Lombardi.
Yeah, I mean, to quote someone I heard on this podcast, little preview thing is, this is why we watch football!
That is a very good point. Hey, hold on real quick before we get too deep into this stuff. What are you doing for Christmas? I am actually in a super secret studio at my in-law's house right now.
Do they not even know about it?
I'm hidden away pretty good. I'm in my father-in-law's office. He's a restaurant owner, so I'm in his office right now.
Nice.
I'm excited to go eat some food after this because we just pulled into town. So I'm getting into the Christmas spirit right now. Maybe go have some eggnog spiked with brandy and have some fantastic dinner that I can smell is getting cooked up right now. So maybe let's keep this short, like 7-8 minutes. Can we do that?
Yeah, I'm done. I'm good. Just go Niners, right?
Yeah, exactly.
No, I'm going to head up to my in-laws and then actually head into the city. And I'm pretty excited. I'm going to watch the new Star Wars movie at the IMAX there in San Francisco, which is, if no one's ever been there, it is ridiculous. The thing is so big. I've seen one movie there, and it was Avatar when it first came out, and it just blew my mind. So, I mean, it costs like $30 a ticket, but it's worth it.
I went once, and I was like, you know what? I can't probably do this very often, but it's a really cool experience if you're a movie lover. That's definitely a spot to hit if you have not hit that IMAX yet.
Yeah, it's been a long time since I've been there. So, I mean, it may not live up to what my memory is of it, but that's okay.
Especially when that first opened up, too, that was a big deal. I was like, oh, my God, I've never seen a movie in this sort of an experience before. And now people have crazy stuff going on in their own living rooms. So,
well, they've got like 4D theaters, too. Have you heard about those?
No, I have not. I don't go to the movies that often. So
Fresno or something. Someone was telling me about it the other day where like the chairs shake. And like if it's a windy scene, like wind blows and
That's very interesting. Okay.
I know. I'd love to see one. I don't think we live anywhere near one. I think there might be one in Sacramento. I don't know.
Watch a movie like, I don't know, like a mobster movie, and there's like actual gunshots going off in the theater.
It's like, whoa, I felt that one.
Rocky, people come by and punch you in the face.
Yeah, or like it's a rainy scene. You're like, wait, why am I drenched right now?
Okay.
Not very fun.
A little too immersive here, guys. Calm down.
I will pass.
Anywho, all right, what are we going to get to here? Anyway, that's all to say, Merry Christmas. Happy holidays to everybody out there. I hope everyone's in a good place and maybe probably in a car right now listening to this, most likely driving to or from Christmas.
I think the first thing we need to touch on is that the Seahawks lost their running back, right? And Marshawn Lynch is headed to town?
Yes, Marshawn Lynch was on a plane to Seattle. We have not heard if he's going to sign, if that's imminent or not. I mean, it's too soon for a guy off the street to have a monstrous role with this game, but it would be something that I'm sure the Seahawks are looking ahead to get him ready for. You know, hopefully they would, in their mind, they're going to have a bye next week and then get him ready for the divisional round. That's the soonest I could see him getting really ready, because I mean, it's one thing to be off the street, but be ready and have been in training camp. He hasn't done a camp. He hasn't been on a field. He doesn't have his football legs underneath him. Don't know what kind of shape he's in. He might be in great shape. He might be in just okay shape. But, I mean, if you want to put Marshawn Lynch off the street on the field.
I'm in.
Sunday, yeah, go.
Yes,
go
please.
Go ahead. Yeah, have fun.
Last I saw him, he was on Bill Maher. So, I mean, that's what he's been doing with his life lately.
Right, and it's a daily grind to be ready for an NFL game. And even guys that, like Joe Staley, he misses a month, and he's like, okay, well, it's going to take a game or two to get back. And he was already ready for the season and went through training camp and stuff and in shape. So it's not super easy. And when there's a reason there's a shelf life for running backs, too. So it's a cool story. It's funny, but it has no impact, I don't think, on this game. It might help the Seahawks in a few weeks, though. Maybe he's ready in a month to go. And how crazy of a story would that be if he's playing a huge role in a big-time football game for the Seahawks in January or even February?
You and I have a mutual acquaintance who's a Seahawks fan, and he likes to talk a lot of trash. And just so that everybody knows out there, he was like, "Oh, I'm making excuses already before this game this weekend. Oh, no running back. It's like, wait, what number string was Mostert when the season started? it's like you don't make excuses. Like, next man up. Let's go.
Well, Chris Carson was a third stringer at one point too, right?
Exactly.
And the 49ers didn't have their two biggest offensive weapons, right?
You're right.
So, yeah, that's what happens sometimes.
I'm excited, man. I love that it got flexed to Sunday night, too, so everybody in the country can watch.
Oh, absolutely.
That's going to put up a huge number.
I'm glad they flexed that. I didn't know if they were going to, because it was kind of a last-minute thing.
I thought they had to do it 10 days or something.
I thought it was 11 days or something like that.
But they did it on Sunday.
Yeah, they said, you know what? Screw it. This is going to go primetime.
We're going to break our own rules.
And I think it's really cool that it's the last game. Number 256 on the season schedule. That's the last NFL regular season game this year, and it's going to be the biggest. It's going to be super fun.
Yeah, I mean, when was the last time a Week 17 game, the last Week 17 game meant this much? You know, I mean, you're talking about you're either going to get a first round bye, or you could be the sixth seed in the playoff. Like, that's huge.
Right. Oh, it's massive. And there's a lot of playoff implications still in week 17. So it's going to be really fun, and some draft order stuff. The Bengals already sewed up the number one pick in the draft, but there's some other, you know, obviously draft order to be hashed out between the top five, like 2 to 5 and 6 is all very close within a game, I think. So, yeah.
My brother's a Lions fan. So he's like, go Miami. Oh, no, overtime. Like, freaking out because he just wants that one draft spot.
At one point, the Lions were like 3-1-1, and they haven't won since then. Now they're 3-11-1.
It's crazy. And I know Stafford was gone for a lot of that, but they lost some tough games there early on.
Yeah, they had that tie, I think, was the opening game against the Cardinals. Yeah,
you're right.
And by the way, that's
the Cardinals.
Another...
How about those Cardinals real quick?
Beating
up on the Seahawks.
Knocking off the Seahawks. Sure. I mean, the Seahawks, this is not the best Seahawks team. Their record is good, but they've had much better teams than this. So this is a beatable team for the 49ers. And the 49ers have showed some weaknesses in a few spots too. So I have no idea how this game's going to go. Actually, hold on. Let's pause on that. Let's get back to more Seahawks stuff. Let's talk a little Rams and get into that mailbag. Before we get too deep looking ahead, let's look back a little bit here. I want to go to Marlin from Philly via email. He says, I read that Kyle Shanahan didn't give Breida any carries because of the flow of the game. I am totally confused by this because how do you find carries for Tevin Coleman and not Matt? It seems like something else is going on. Also, Akello had a horrible game, in my opinion. He looked slow and confused out there in coverage. Shanahan seems to want to keep him in based on his comments after the game, but I would pull him or have him on a short leash for E-Man. And I want to read that email because that's two major topics that I got a lot of questions about. And a big shout out to everybody. Thank you very much for hitting me up and hitting me with your questions all season long. Matt Breida, that one's confusing to me because
what about this?
Okay.
Real quick on Breida. What if he's holding him? Like, he's just like, let's keep him nice and healthy, and then we'll unleash him, like, this weekend.
That is, like, the – if you want to give Kyle Shanahan the most credit and thinking ahead and being like, okay, look, he's had a bad ankle. We're fine with Mostert. Like, Mostert's playing really good ball. They really like Tevin Coleman, obviously. They like him in the pass game. They like him as a pass blocker. And I think that might be one of the keys why he's on the field a lot.
Right.
And let's get Breida 100%. Make sure he's 100%. We can unleash him in the playoffs. I still think Breida might be the best running back on the team, as good as Mostert's played. And I think it's clear, it's evident, as a runner, Tevin Coleman's number three at best on the roster.
You're right.
Not giving Breida any carries. Maybe they're looking ahead. If he is third on the depth chart, then that's just a flat mistake, I think. That's, you know, that's me. So I agree with Marlins. Like, look, you found carries for guys that aren't as good, so find carries for your better player.
Sure. But, I mean, you mentioned, I think you even put a tweet about Mostert being the most explosive running back.
Oh,
like,
my gosh.
He is.
When he sees that hole and he hits that gear, it's amazing. He is so explosive. And,
so I mean, explosive.
And the guys he's on the roster with are all 4-3 guys. Like, Matt Breida is a little smoother. Matt Breida's got better feet, I think, and maybe even better vision. Mm-hmm. Tevin Coleman's got good speed as well, but he's not quite as smooth as a runner. He's a little bit, you know, a little more upright, and he needs a nice hole, and then he'll hit it, and he's got speed, you know.
Right.
But, man, the explosion when Raheem Mostert sees it. I mean, he was a NCAA sprinter at Purdue. Like, he's got legit speed, but sometimes it's like, wow, okay, that is crazy burst.
Yeah, and it's just his vision, too. He's patient. He reminds me a lot about some of the best running backs. You know, like, you watch Le'Veon Bell in the past, and he's like, waiting, go. You know, and he's got that quickness to just get it going immediately. And I've seen that for Mostert, too. I'm really impressed with what he's done this season. He did a little bit of it last year, too. Let's be real. We saw glimpses of it.
And he's been dogged by fumbles, too, earlier in his career, which I think it took him a little bit longer to be trusted and get on the field. But he hasn't had that problem at all, even in the rain in Baltimore. And it's a really good scheme for him because he can be patient, and then he sees it and uses that burst and goes hits it on those outside zone runs.
Do you think Kyle's, like, mad at Breida for last week? He's like, dude, you've been out. I finally get you back in there, and then you fumble?
That's the other thing, and I mentioned that on Twitter to somebody who asked me about it during the game, was, I think fumbles. I mean, if it's really close and you're splitting hairs and someone loses a fumble, okay, now you're back to the – you're in the back
to
of the line.
Bottom.
Yeah, so maybe that's it. And I wouldn't be surprised if that's the most – like, the biggest part of it, because he likes his other running backs, and Breida lost a fumble. So, sorry, you're in the doghouse now.
Did you notice – also on special teams, Mostert wasn't out there.
And it's smart. Even though he's the best special teams guy, and that's a sign that he's earned that number one running back status. And they don't want to get him hurt and overuse him on special teams. So
I really like seeing that.
Yeah, I love it.
I mean, again, he is their best special teams player, maybe one of the best in the league. But, yeah, I mean, you don't want to get him hurt out there
when
he's averaging like 7 yards a carry.
More important to have him on offense.
Right.
And props to props to Mostert. He's earned it. It's been a long, weird road for him, and he's the best running back on the 49ers currently. He's the number one guy.
Yep.
It's a pretty cool story.
And what was the second part of that question?
The second part was Akella Witherspoon. And I know you tweeted about it during the game. He had a rough one. Do you go back to Emmanuel Sanders, or is that, you know, recency
you
bias, small sample? Emmanuel Mosley.
Yeah.
Do you go back to Mosley?
I think you have to, right? I mean, that was bad. He was just getting burnt by everyone. It was like, no matter who he was covering, it's like they were targeting him. Like, okay, where's Witherspoon? Throw it to that guy.
It's been a few weeks. He got targeted quite a lot. And, I mean, everyone gives up a lot of catches to Michael Thomas.
Sure.
Julio Jones caught a bunch. Julio Jones caught more passes on Witherspoon than he did on Mosley, even though he hit Mosley like three in a row on that one drive.
Right.
And obviously last week, too. So maybe, look. It's like the running back spot. It's a competition. It's an ongoing competition. If Mosley's playing better today, this game is important. Put the guy who's playing best out there. And then maybe that wakes up Witherspoon. It's like, okay, and he goes back to where he was playing earlier in the season. Maybe still hurt a little bit. You know, Shanahan says no. And I really feel like you don't want to jerk guys in and out of the lineup either. So Shanahan has a depth chart, and it's set. And it's like, unless you really, really, really screw up, you're not going to get surpassed on the depth chart.
He kind of did, though, didn't
but,
he?
But, yeah, if you start giving up a couple of touchdowns a game, and I think if you're I don't know if he was dogging it, but I know some people were really upset that didn't look like he was going full speed or maybe just thinking too much or something. And I understand it. That one against Cooper Kupp is tough. He's got to cover him all the way across the field with no help. I mean, he needs some help on the other side of that route. It's tough.
Didn't it feel like every time you looked up and a Rams guy was making a catch that you're like, oh, Spoon was on him?
Yeah, it was Spoon, it was Greenlaw, and it was Marcel Harris. And I think actually the Marcel Harris, the Jaquaski Tartt injury has been one of the sneaky, toughest injuries for the 49ers to cover, because you see how good Tartt is and how valuable he is with his size to be able to play strong safety, fill against the run, and his athleticism to even play single high free safety and have range and coverage. Jaquaski Tartt's a really good player, and when you see another guy in there, and Marcel Harris isn't terrible, but you know they cut him out of camp for a reason.
Right,
that's a big loss. DJ Jones is another one. It's like, man, losing Staley hurt less than losing DJ Jones and Jaquaski Tartt, which is a sentence I didn't think I would say.
Yeah, no doubt. Hey, real quick, since we're talking so all negative, let's get positive real quick. How about Fred Warner?
Yeah.
That's the play of the game, right? I mean, yeah, that Emmanuel Sanders catch, you know, the 2 3rd and 16s, you know, conversions, like those were awesome. But I mean, you're talking about a pick six. That just, the Niners haven't done that in a long time. That was fun to see.
That was a huge play. And it's awesome to see Warner have a big splash play and a play that gets him a ton of credit that he deserves, because he's been such a good player all year, and I don't think he's gotten the respect, and he's overshadowed by a lot of guys. He's awesome, and he's a Pro Bowl player, and he's so fantastic, and he showed up big when the 49ers needed him. They needed a big play. That was huge. 46 seconds to go in the first half.
Yeah, beautiful.
Tyrone wants to know, first he says, what's up, BP? What's up, Wink?
What's up?
George Kittle for MVP, how about it?
I'm down.
I mean, team MVP, absolutely, yes.
Yeah.
Slam dunk.
Uh-huh, 100%. I mean, yeah, NFL MVP, I think that's already wrapped up.
League MVP, more difficult. I would definitely write George Kittle's name at the top of my list for voting for 49ers team MVP this year, though, absolutely.
Real quick, just talking about NFL MVP, has anyone ever won NFL MVP and Offensive Player of the Year?
It's almost like two different awards now. It's like the MVP is the quarterback award, and then the Offensive Player of the Year is a different thing. I think you have to separate them, because it's obviously going to be the same guy every time. Because if whoever the MVP is obviously going to be the Offensive Player of the Year, and it's never a defensive player.
Right. Yeah, it's because, I mean, he is the Offensive Player of the Year, Lamar Jackson, and he is the MVP. Like, he is the best player in the NFL. I don't even think it's really that close.
Let's go through that. Do you want to go through that for the 49ers?
Let's do it.
Okay, let's do some awards here, some impromptu awards shows for our Christmas special, Nick. MVP, we just talked about MVP and teased it. You know where my vote is? It's for George Kittle.
Yeah.
Are you going to vote George Kittle for 49ers MVP this year?
Yeah, I think you have to. I mean, you saw what happened when he wasn't in the lineup, and, you know, he's out there every single game. He's blocking, he's making catches, he's stiff-arming guys. He's just acting like a grown-ass man, and it's a lot of fun to see. And not to mention, you just know that he's that locker room guy, too. You know, that he's constantly hyping everybody up around him, and his energy is contagious. And you got to love that. Yeah, he's got to be the MVP.
So impactful. You mentioned the locker room and the energy on the sidelines and the energy in the huddle and in the pass game and in the run game. He impacts so much of the game for the 49ers.
So if you can't do MVP and offensive player as the same guy, then I think you got to give it to Jimmy G. Offensive, I mean, he's put up the numbers when he's had to. Like, yeah, he hasn't been great in some games, but he's been clutch. That's been huge.
I don't disagree, but just to throw a different spin on that, what about Emmanuel Sanders, because of the difference he's made since he showed up?
He really did. What about Deebo Samuel?
That's the Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Yeah. What about Mostert? I mean, what about the job he's done since he's been put in the lineup? Like,
yeah.
It's incredible.
And I'm, you know how I am. I'm running back agnostic, so I don't really care who the running back is in most cases, but
it's true.
Mostert is clearly better than Tevin Coleman, and it's like, okay, right. Mostert is like, how's this guy? He's on 7 different teams, and he's a special teamer, and now he's like going to lead the NFL in yards per carry? It's wild.
Right, right. Yeah, it's unbelievable. But yeah, I totally get it. I mean, you're right about Emmanuel Sanders. Like, he's made those big plays. He's made those big catches. When they're looking for, you know, a big play on third down, and it's not going to Kendrick Bourne, it's going to Emmanuel Sanders.
And I think he's probably helped Kendrick Bourne and Deebo Samuel.
Agreed.
Defensive play. Well, so your vote's for Jimmy G, though, for Offensive Player of the Year, right? Okay, I'll go Sanders for that. We both have Kittle for MVP. How about Defensive Player of the Year for the 49ers?
It's got to be Bosa. I mean, just the way he's played out there, it's incredible. I mean, you could give it to someone else just so then you can give him Defensive Rookie of the Year. And if I'm going to do that, then I'd probably give it to Richard Sherman. I love his leadership out there. I mean, his numbers are fantastic. You you watch him play too. There was just one play where he got hurt last week. And it was right before that. Like, you saw him read, run. He jumps around his guy and he just throws his body and makes a tackle. Like, he got a little hurt on the play, but like, just watching him do that, you're like, that's a veteran. That is an amazing cornerback right there. Not afraid to go up and make a hit, you know, sacrifice his body just for the team. And you got to love that. He limps off the field. And he's like, I'm fine. I'm going back in.
Now, that's a great point. I think that Eric Armstead deserves consideration.
Yeah.
And I mean, there's a lot of guys in the 49ers defense.
Warner, I mean, just
Fred Warner, for sure. We just talked about Fred Warner.
Right.
I would maybe even put Armstead and Warner just a tick ahead of Bosa, because Bosa has sort of slowed down in the sacks department, even though he's still been disruptive and played well. And I just saw a stat from Pro Football Focus that Nick Bosa's 69 pressures is the most ever for a rookie since they've been tallying pressures.
Wow.
So it's not just
tallying for 2 years.
Right. And it's not just about sacks, it's about pressure.
Yeah,
so
and
they're giving him a ton of
attention.
Offenses are attention. They are double teams and chipping him, and so especially with no D Ford out there, they're really putting more emphasis on getting him blocked, rolling out a lot with Jared Goff last week away from, I mean, partly because he's a right-handed quarterback. Do you have a question about that? And yeah, I think it's twofold there, because play action, the 49ers are biting on the run and the defensive ends were getting sucked in, but also roll away from your best pass rusher and then chip him at the same time. And so that was actually a really good game plan, I thought, by Sean McVay last week for the 49ers. But I'm going to save the Bosa award for the defensive rookie of the year that we'll get to next. And I'm going to give the award to Eric Armstead.
I like it. Yeah, I'm going to give it to Sherman, and we'll both give Bosa the rookie of the year.
Yeah, I mean,
the defense.
I think that's super easy. And I think offensive rookie of the year has got to be Deebo Samuel, and it's not really anybody else there.
Should we give out like a ghost award? Like, it's got to be Dante Pettis, right? I mean, guy that was like expected to help out and has vanished.
where the hell
supposed to be a big
award?
Deal? And no.
Wow. That's
but then again, maybe the writing was on the wall, you know, early on in the preseason. He was out there in the fourth quarter. You know, maybe we should have seen it.
Well, it's strange because he came back, because remember all of a sudden it was Marquise Goodwin and Dante Pettis starting all preseason long. And then all of a sudden, week one came around, Deebo Samuel was the starter.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, that's weird that now today he's the starter and he was playing the Z even though he'd been practicing at X and playing X with all of his reps in the preseason.
Right.
Now he's playing the Z spot where Pettis was and he's the starter. And then after two games, Pettis comes back and he's the starter and he has a nice, you know, game-winning catch against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And then he ghosts again and he's gone.
Right.
And then now he's not even on the field. That's what a wild ride.
Is he even suited up? Like, I haven't even seen a shot of him on the sideline.
That was the thing. So I saw a shot of him on the sideline in uniform. I saw a shot of Matt Breida.
I saw Breida
in uniform. And that's how I knew, because I was at a Christmas party and I didn't see the inactives before the game. And so I wasn't sure. And I was thinking, oh man, maybe Breida's not even active today. And maybe it's the ankle or something, even though he wasn't on the injury report. Those guys, neither one were on the injury report. So they're healthy and just not a part of the, weren't a part of the game plan. And
that's wild.
The Pettis one is really wild.
Yeah, no doubt. That's the ghost of the year.
You can tell it's a disappointed father situation for Shanahan, because he wanted him. That was his guy. He traded up to get him. And that's three offensive players now.
Yeah.
Beathard, Pettis, and Joe Williams that Kyle Shanahan just
whiffed on, let's be real.
I mean, he wanted those guys so bad that he said he wasn't going to be able to sleep at night if they didn't draft Joe Williams. And being a good GM and being a good pal, John Lynch trades up to get all three of those guys, and they are making zero impact for the team. But by the way, CJ Beathard, I mean, I talked about it on yesterday's show with his brother getting stabbed.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, what a terrible thing
to
happen. Christmas season, like, just unbelievable.
Yeah, obviously our heart goes out to him and his family. That's rough, man.
Yeah, that's a terrible thing. We don't have a lot of time left here, Nick. Do you have any thoughts? We didn't really talk about the Rams game, but the big thing about that is that the 49ers beat the LA Rams and they're going to Seattle face the Seahawks.
Yeah.
Do you have any last thoughts, any projections here with this game, any predictions for the 49ers Week 17 matchup against the Seahawks Sunday night?
I mean, what's cool too is that they beat the Rams twice this year.
Yes.
You know, like, that's awesome. That's so great. You're talking about a team that went to the Super Bowl last year.
Are you talking about potentially just straight up owning the West? I mean, that overtime loss to the Seahawks, that
to
was a
Seahawks.
Rough one, but I mean, you beat the Seahawks in their house.
Niners could have won that game easily. Yeah. So yeah, no, I'm obviously looking forward to it. Like I said, man, this is the best, biggest game for a long time for these 49ers. This is, we've talked about it a lot this year. Like, oh man, this is the best game. Oh, they're playing the Ravens. Oh, they're playing Saints. Okay, those were all great, but this is the one. Like, this is it. Let's get ready. Let's get ready for the playoffs. Let's show everybody that this is the team to beat in the NFC. Go out there, you know, smack Seattle in the mouth in their house, you know, make the 12th man cry as they leave, and go ahead and secure that number one first round bye.
Can't wait. It's going to be such a fun one. The 49ers are favored, I think, by 3 last I saw.
That's crazy.
On the road in Seattle, which is cool. I'm glad the odds makers had the balls to do that. I would have said put all your money on the 49ers. Now that it's them favored by 3, I wouldn't say put your money on Seattle, but I would say just sit back, don't put money on it, and enjoy that 49ers win because it might only be by 1 point.
Yeah. You're exactly right. It's gonna
it's going to be that kind of game. And I talked to the guy on Twitter earlier this week about what a wild ride this season has been. And I have a feeling it's that roller coaster is not done. It's going to get even wilder from here. And there's more playoffs to come. Where the 49ers play in those playoffs, who they play against is going to be decided this weekend. But they got to win the West first and take this division back and remind everybody who the 49ers are, right?
Let's do it. Go get them, Niners.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Nick, thanks for joining me here once again.
My pleasure, bud.
Happy holidays, everybody. Be back later this week previewing that Seahawks game, and then we'll break it all down for you Monday. Safe travels. Talk to you then right here, Locked On 49ers.
See ya.